Hey everyone, thanks for connecting with this message from Hurricane Community Church, where we're all about inviting people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to connect with us further, consider subscribing to our YouTube channel or following us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Most importantly, we hope that connecting with HCC will help you take next steps in connecting with God.
Well, thanks for choosing to connect with the online campus of Hurricane Community Church. Whether this is your first time in a long time, or every time, we're glad that you've chosen to spend this time with us. How would you describe your hope level at this point in time? Would you describe it as higher or lower than at this time last year? Or would you describe it as higher or lower than even maybe earlier this year, because 2020 has been quite a year, hasn't it? When the pandemic first hit, I remember a lot of the conversations that I had that included a phrase that resonated along the spectrum of age. It's easy to think that people in their 20s would connect to this statement, but it wasn't just people in their 20s. It was people in their 80s that would even say the same thing. And the phrase was, "This is unlike anything I've ever experienced in my lifetime." The pandemic has hit and affected almost every person on the face of the planet in some way, shape, or form. It has affected physical, financial, relational, mental, emotional, and even spiritual well-being. And as a result, it has also affected the level of hope for many people. In simplest terms, hope is the anticipation of good. It is hope that allows us to endure today. It is hope that tomorrow will be better than today. It is hope for that day that allows us to endure this day. It is hope that is able to keep us going in the midst of challenging circumstances. One modern researcher on hope says that we basically live in time, standing at point A while moving towards the future of point B. We have certain goals and certain dreams, securing a great job, meeting that special someone, or maybe for some, it's even just the hope of having control of the remote for just one evening. But we live with these hopes and these dreams, and then challenges come, life hits that impede the pursuit and the achievement and the accomplishment of those dreams. And in the midst of that, sometimes all we have to hold on to is hope. Hope, by definition, requires uncertainty. If I already have something, there is no need for me to hope for it. If my point A and my future point B, my future point B becomes my current point A, then I no longer have to hope for point B because it has become my point A. Do you follow the point? Hope is what allows us to endure quarantining with the same people in the same place every day. One person said about relational hope during quarantine that each and every family should create an imaginary person who leaves the dirty dishes in the sink, who leaves their shoes on the floor, and leaves the unfolded laundry in the dryer. Or, if you happen to live in our home, takes the unfolded laundry out of the dryer, leaves the laundry unfolded, and then spreads it out all across mom and dad's bed so that they don't have to deal with the unfolded laundry. Hope is what keeps us going beyond measure. The early church leader Paul wrote about this in multiple letters to early followers of Jesus, including to followers of Jesus in the city of Rome. And here's what he writes specifically to them. He says, I consider our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. When Paul writes about present sufferings in the ancient world, the question about how we deal with suffering was a predominant question in the ancient world. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that the how do we deal with present sufferings is just an ancient world question, aren't you? The approach that the ancient world took to present sufferings was that people would often create what was called a hardship list. And the purpose of a hardship list was to identify any potential trials or challenges that an individual might face so that they could train themselves to allow their reason to prevail in whatever circumstances they faced. If someone were to allow reason to prevail, hope was considered almost an illusion. It was almost considered like a moral disease because hope required trusting or depending on someone other than you. In the ancient world, the only person, the only thing that you could count on was you. You couldn't depend on the world. You couldn't depend on the circumstances. You couldn't depend on the people around you. You couldn't even depend on the gods. So the only thing you could depend on was your ability to ration or reason your way through whatever you face. What we need to know is that hope cannot depend on our circumstances. Hope must come from something or someone beyond me. The early church leader Paul continued to write about this idea of present sufferings and how to handle them to the church in Rome. He says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. There is a contrast between the way the ancient world approached present sufferings and the way that we approach present sufferings, specifically the sufferings of other people. We tend to be somewhat compassionate toward the sufferings of others, and we tend to try to figure out a way to offer some kind of help whenever it was within our possibility to do so. And in the ancient world, it was okay to sympathize with the suffering of another person, and it was also even okay to offer assistance to someone who was going through challenging circumstances, as long as their suffering or your suffering as a result of offering assistance to them did not impact your own peace. This type of sympathetic grief, where we would feel for other people to the point of being moved to action on behalf of other people, was known as groaning, and groaning was looked down upon. Groaning was for wimps. But Paul says that the whole creation is groaning up until the present time. Paul is saying that there's something that is not right with the world, and as the result of something not being right with the whole world is out of order. The whole world is groaning as a result of the present sufferings. When something is not right with the world feels that which is not right. But there is a day that's coming when all that is wrong with this world will be made right. And it is because there is a day coming that when all that is wrong with this world will be made right, that we are able to hope. In the meantime, just as we would not expect a woman to go through childbirth without some groaning, we do not expect the present sufferings of the world to go without some form of groaning as well. Paul continues to address this present suffering and the groaning in a way that gets even more personal to the people he wrote to, and my guess is even more personal to people like you and people like me. He says, not only so, so not only is the world groaning, all of creation groaning, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption. Not only does the whole creation groan, but there is something inside each of us that groans when the world is not as it should be, and when the circumstances of people are not as they should be. There is something inside each of us that waits with anticipation, that hopes for the good in the circumstances that we face. And Paul says that we wait eagerly. We wait eagerly because God, who is the creator of the entire universe that groans when things are not right, has given us the opportunity to be adopted into his family as children. And Paul says we wait eagerly for that adoption. There is a way for people who are connected in right relationship with God to approach present sufferings differently than a world who lives without hope. Paul says, we groan inwardly when things aren't as they are supposed to be, but yet we groan with anticipation of good as people who have the opportunity to be adopted into the family of God. And Paul says that this hope matters. This type of hope makes a difference. In fact, what he says is, for in this hope we are saved. In this hope goes right back to what we eagerly await, and that is our connection in right relationship with God. It goes right back to living life in a world that is broken with a hope that tomorrow will be better than today because of right relationship with God. It doesn't mean that our circumstances will always change. It doesn't mean that things will always work out as we intend for them to. Instead, what it means is that we have a hope because Jesus, as a complete act of grace, chose to leave up there, to come down here, and to die on a cross, to redeem sin, and to provide the path to right relationship with God, and in so doing, provide hope as the anticipation of good. Paul continues, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Now, if you were to ask my family, or really anyone close to me, they would tell you what a patient person I am. Now, I didn't say they would tell you I was a patient person. They would just tell you what a patient person I am, which isn't a very patient person at all. If you're anything like me, and my guess is there are some of you who are, and there's at least a part of all of us that's this way. But waiting patiently isn't one of the strengths that we bring, especially in circumstances that are challenging. Most of the time, we want our circumstances to change. We want our challenges to end. We want to see a light at the end of the tunnel, all the while hoping that the light isn't an oncoming train. We wait with anticipation that good will come, regardless of what our current experiences are. We wait patiently, but Paul doesn't mean that waiting patiently is passive. It doesn't mean that waiting patiently isn't active. Instead, waiting patiently requires us to accept our responsibility. It requires us to continue to live at point A and move towards the future of point B. Much of this depends on how we move from point A towards the future of point B. So let me start to wrap up this message with a couple of things that we might be able to do about this level of hope that we live with. The first is to take responsibility for your hoping. Make hope a habit. In all circumstances, continue to hold on to a level of hope. And when we do this, there are going to be plenty of people who will tell us that hope is an illusion, that hope is something that we shouldn't live with, that hope is overrated. But when we are connected in right relationship with God, we have the ability to hope even when others don't or won't. It is hope that keeps us going. It is hope in right relationship with God. And that leads us to the second thing that we can do, and that is to invite God into our hoping. But here's one of the coolest things about this. We don't have to just invite God into our hoping. We can actually make God the source of our hope. The God who is the creator of the entire universe that groans when things aren't as they should be. The God who loved us enough to send Jesus to redeem sin and to restore right relationship with God. We have the ability, the opportunity to hope in relationship with God. You see, any time that we place our hope in a what, we will come up short. And whenever we have exhausted all of our when things don't work out as we hope and as we plan, we are left with the question, in what have we placed our hope? But hope isn't found in a what. It's found in a who. It's found in right relationship with God through what Jesus has done for us that we could never do for ourselves. And as a result, a day is coming. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. We may not know when. We may not know how. But a day is coming when everything that is wrong with today will be made right. When Paul wrote about present sufferings to the ancient world and our world as well, he wrote in the context of something beyond today. He wrote about something in the context beyond present sufferings. He wrote about that which will be revealed in right relationship with God. A day is coming when tomorrow will be better than today. And we can get through this day because of an eye on that day. It is hope that keeps us going beyond measure. So no matter what your circumstances, no matter what challenges you face in the midst of this very interesting year of 2020, keep hope alive, because it is hope that keeps us going beyond measure. Let me pray for you as we wrap up this time together. Dear God, thank you for this letter written by the early church leader Paul, through which we can glean elements and components of hope that go beyond our present sufferings to go to a glory that will be revealed. Thank you that hope does not have to be an illusion, but it is something for which we can be responsible, and it is something that we can invite you into, not just to be a part of it, but to be the source of it. And so, God, whatever it is that we are going through, whatever challenges we face, whether they are physical, whether they are financial, whether they are emotional, whether they are mental, whether they are spiritual, whatever they are, may we hold on to hope and may we pursue right relationship with you above all else as the source of hope. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you again for connecting with the online campus of Hurricane Community Church. We hope it's not your last time, and we hope that you'll join us for the next episode of the Beyond Measure series.
Thanks again for tuning in, and we hope this message helped you take a step in your relationship with God. If you're considering other ways to connect, check out HCC's website, social media, and YouTube channels.